This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. A new phase of the war in Iraq opened over the past 24 hours as the U.S. Army and Marines engaged in direct combat against Saddam Hussein's most capable conventional troops, the Republican Guards. After air, artillery, and ground attacks, U.S. commanders claim that two Republican Guards divisions are no longer credible forces, that they're no longer capable of defending themselves. The U.S. Army attacked the Medina Division in the Euphrates Valley to the southwest of Baghdad near Karbala, while the Marines hit the Baghdad Division to the southeast of the capital in the Tigris Valley near the city of Kut. At the Pentagon an hour ago, Major General Stanley McChrystal said U.S. troops are within 30 miles of Baghdad, but warned that some of the toughest fighting may lay ahead. In Baghdad itself, Iraqi officials dismissed American claims as lies and, as the bombing continues, reported what they say are more American attacks on civilians, including at a maternity hospital. Later this hour, we'll bring you up to date on the situation in the south of Iraq, and especially on the siege of Basra, and we'll talk with a military analyst about how he thinks Saddam Hussein might transform a conventional defeat into a long-term victory. And we'll take your calls on the importance and the meaning of these new developments. But first, we're joined by Sean Naylor, a reporter for the Army Times. He's embedded with the 3rd Infantry Division, which took part in the battles in the Euphrates Valley near Karbala. And Sean, good of you to join us.
It's my pleasure.
What can you tell us about the action the 3rd Infantry saw over the past 24 hours?
Well, in fact, the action that the division has seen is substantially less than officers in the division anticipated. The division pushed through the so-called Karbala Gap today, which is a 6-kilometer stretch of desert between a lake that borders the gap on the western side and the city of Karbala on the eastern side. And there was some expectation that the Republican Guard would push south to oppose this, but in fact there was almost no sign of them in the desert as we pushed forward, and only limited firefights with them as elements of the division pushed over the Euphrates River.
How are they interpreting that, as a tactical withdrawal to a better position, or as an indication that the Medina Division, the opposition there, is having great difficulties?
I think that nobody has expressed an opinion with 100% certainty that I've heard. It's worth noting that what we're being told here is that the Republican Guard divisions have become somewhat intermingled, so that the battalions and the brigades of the different divisions, which are the Hammurabi division, the Nebuchadnezzar division, the Al-Adnan division, and the Medina division in particular, have sort of gotten mixed up. So it's not as if it's going to be a simple fight, one division after the other, on en route to Baghdad. I think that your suggestion is correct, that the Republican Guard knows that it's really on a not worth its time and energy to oppose the U.S. Army in open desert warfare, which is the sort of terrain that we're on at the moment, and has probably pulled back into the at least the outer suburbs of Baghdad, where the complex terrain enables it to negate some of the technological overmatch enjoyed by the U.S. Army.
How close are you to Karbala, and can you tell us about anything about the conditions in that city?
I can't tell you too much about the conditions in that city. I'm not in the city. My understanding is that U.S. forces have essentially surrounded and isolated the city, but have not gone in significant numbers into the city itself. I am north of the city by some kilometers. I don't want to give the exact location of where I am away. But it's sort of north-northwest of Karbala and southwest of Baghdad.
We've been told that you expect to be moving further north soon. What can you tell us about that?
Again, it wouldn't really be awfully responsible of me to discuss in any great detail the operational plans that the division has. But I think you don't have to be a military genius to realize that, you know, we've been coming north and that Baghdad lies further north. So I'm sure that, you know, in the coming hours and days, that northward march will continue.
As you said, we had heard an awful lot about this Karbala gap between the city itself and that lake that lies to the west, that, what you said, 6 kilometers, that's a little bit more than 3 miles. And were the people you're with in the 3rd Division, were they surprised that the Republican Guards did not put up a fight for this relatively small area?
Yes. Yes, there was... There were two sort of concerns or expectations. One is that the Republican Guard would either be defending that position fiercely and dug in, or else would be pushing south to conduct a sort of a counterattack or a spoiling attack as the 3rd Infantry Division moved north through the gap. The other was that the Iraqis would employ chemical or biological weapons, because the gap channelizes U.S. forces of necessity pushing through that, and as they slow up to push through the gap, there's sort of a little traffic jam developed, and there was a concern because that would be an sort of doctrinally the sort of place that you would expect a military to use chemical weapons. And when that didn't happen, obviously everybody breathed a sigh of relief.
Yes, we've also heard a lot about the so-called red line, which is an area where Iraqi forces may or may not be authorized to use chemical weapons, which they may or may not have. What's the morale of the American troops there with the 3rd Division? Is there a sense of anticipation?
I think, you know, there's the morale is good. I'm not sure I'd go as far as to say a sense of anticipation. People are eager to get on with the job and get it over with so they can go home. Some of these soldiers have been out here in the desert in Kuwait or for months now, and they're able to go home and see their families. But morale is good. The soldiers are tired in some cases. They've conducted 450-kilometer movement in a little over a week, which is quite extraordinary. But they're in good spirits. I haven't heard any griping at all.
Sean Naylor, thanks very much for being with us. Before your satellite phone gives up the ghost entirely, we appreciate your time this evening. We know it's late.
All right. Thank you.
Sean Naylor, a reporter for the Army Times, embedded with the 3rd U.S. Infantry Division in central Iraq. He told us northwest of Karbala. If you have questions about the start of this important phase of the war, and you can give us a call. Our phone number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now on the phone from Kuwait City is NPR's Mike Schuster, who's been listening to what Sean Naylor had to say. And Sean told us about the situation in the Euphrates Valley and around Karbala. Can we move east, if you will? And what can you tell us about the fight in the Tigris Valley involving the U.S. Marines?
Well, it happened more or less simultaneously, and I imagine coordinated with the move through the Karbala Gap last night and into this morning. Thousands of Marines had been creeping up a road toward Al-Qut to the southeast of Baghdad for the last few days. And it's interesting, Neil, because there hadn't been much reporting from embedded reporters about just where the thousands of Marines of the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force were. And it wasn't clear just what their strategy was going to be, but they broke it last night and this morning. And what they seem to have done is isolate the city of Al-Qut, but engage the Republican Guard Division there called the Baghdad Division. And airstrikes over the last few days apparently had hurt the Baghdad Division severely. And in effect, the Marines did a rush forward and to the left, in perhaps somewhat similar to the rush through the Karbala Gap. They took a bridge across the Tigris River. It's the first time that U.S. troops have gotten to the Tigris River. They held the bridge, crossed the bridge, and there's a left turn on the road, and it goes straight to Baghdad. There's also a right turn that goes a little bit east and then south around Kut, and there apparently is a division of Iraqi regulars further south, so they've blocked off the road so the Iraqis can't attack from the south. And lead elements of the Marines are already up the road toward Baghdad, said to be within 30 miles of Baghdad from the southeast.
Actually, we have an email question, which is a better one than I had planned. This is from Joe Zoller in San Diego. He writes, the military says it destroyed a division of the Republican Guard. I'm wondering, he asks, how many men are in one of these divisions? And although there have been U.S. casualties, any estimate on how many Iraqi soldiers may have been killed?
Well, my understanding is that the Baghdad division is said to be about 11,000 soldiers. As a rule of thumb, the Iraqi divisions are about half of what American divisions are because they haven't been maintained very well over the last 12 years. And the Baghdad division was also said to have included an additional two tank battalions. So there may be 9,000 men and a good deal of artillery, multiple rocket launchers, and tanks. And so it would have involved a lot of Marines and a lot of fighting to make sure that, in effect, the military capability of this division was destroyed.
And that's what they mean when they say the division has been destroyed. We heard General Brooks at Central Command earlier today said, effectively, that it can no longer maneuver, that it's not an effective fighting force.
Right.
Talk about a few other flashpoints, Mike. Further down the Euphrates Valley, south of Karbala, is the city of Najaf, an important shrine to Shias around the world, and especially those in Iraq, of course. What's the situation there, as far as you know?
Well, Najaf has been surrounded by U.S. Army troops for a number of days, and today it developed that some of the Iraqi militaries, the paramilitaries that remain inside of Najaf, apparently started shooting on American positions from inside the Mosque of Ali, which is one of the most holy sites in Shia Islam. The U.S. forces recognized that there were paramilitaries inside, but according to Brigadier General Brooks at the Doha briefing today, he said that the U.S. forces did not fire back on the mosque. So as I understand it, Najaf is still surrounded. There are still paramilitaries in the mosque and in the city. And there are probes that the Americans are making around the town, but they haven't entered the town, as I understand it.
2 weeks ago tonight, the air war began with that attack on a target of opportunity, we're told, in Baghdad. The most fierce fighting thus far has been in and around the city of Nasiriyah, which controls a choke point, an important crossing of the Euphrates River further south from Najaf. And what's been going on there?
Well, my understanding is that Nasiriyah, the fighting has quieted at Nasiriyah. It's taken a long time to get that done, but the U.S. has forced out a lot of the paramilitaries from Nasiriyah. Of course, the hospital just outside of Nasiriyah was the site of the rescue of Private Lynch last night, and this was under fire. There was still fire from paramilitaries going on against the special forces that came in helicopters and rescued her. So Nasiriyah is not entirely cleared of paramilitary forces, but it was such an important strategic point. There were two bridges over the Euphrates River, and it was the point necessary to allow the thousands of Marines to cross over the last week that eventually led to the assault on the Republican Guard division around Al-Kut that occurred last night and today.
Thanks, Mike, very much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Neil.
NPR's Mike Schuster with us on the phone from Kuwait City. We'll be hearing more about Basra and the siege largely conducted by British forces in that important Iraqi southern city later in the program. We're talking about the war in Iraq, and we're taking your calls when we come back from a break. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email. The address is TOTN@NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.